I was watching a ball game this week, and there was a young pitcher making his first start in the major leagues. His last name was Smiley. I think his first name was Drew Smiley. And the announcers who were just talking about him, introducing him to, you know, everybody that was listening, or I think it was on the television, said, "This young man is true to his name. He's always smiling. He's always has a pleasant disposition. He's always a pleasure to be around." One of them made the statement, said, "You know, I don't know the exact number, but I'm sure that it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile." And sure enough, one of their statisticians Googled it or something, and they came back on a few minutes later and they said, "Yeah, we looked it up. It takes 79 muscles to frown. It takes 17 to smile." And so this morning, since it takes less energy to smile than it does to frown, I say to you, smile and be of good cheer. It's more enjoyable being around a happy person than it is a grumpy person. Amen? I was with Brother Bob this week at the hospital. Dorothy was having a procedure. And by the way, her surgery is set, Brother Bob was telling me, for a week from this Friday. We were sitting there in the waiting room. And you know, Brother Bob's just a happy guy. I mean, we were there for 4 or 5 hours, and we were just talking and laughing. You would think that we were at a restaurant just having a good time, because he's just such a happy person to be around. Now, he had to go back and be with Dorothy. There's some times that only one person can go into the room. And while he was gone, I was sitting there, and I was eavesdropping on these two guys that were sitting a couple of chairs down. And one of them was just complaining about everything. I mean, he was complaining about the weather, the coffee that he got out of the coffee machine, the food that they had down in the cafeteria, his car, his mother-in-law, his job. And I said to myself, boy, I'm glad I'm with Bob and I'm not with this guy. I mean, I think I'd have to get up and go to the hospital myself if I wasn't already there. So this morning, since it's more enjoyable being around a happy person than it is a grumpy person, I say to you, be of good cheer. Bible quiz this morning, if you noticed it in the bulletin. What does the book of Proverbs say doeth good like a medicine? And of course, the answer is in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, where the Bible says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine." And what the wisest man that ever lived wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the book of Proverbs is that having a merry heart does as much good as medicine. So, you know, I take a little aspirin every morning. They say it helps your heart. You know, a merry heart does just as much good as that aspirin. Some of you have been taking antibiotics of late because you have something that you need an antibiotic for. That verse says, a merry heart does just as much good as that antibiotic. Now, I'm not preaching this morning, you ought to quit taking your medicine. Nothing like that. But I'm saying that you can enhance what that medicine does for your body by having a merry heart, because a merry heart does just as much good. And so I say to you this morning, because it is good for you from a health standpoint, be of good cheer. But more important than those three reasons, more important than it's more fun to be around a happy person, and it takes less energy to be happy, and it's good for you from a health standpoint, more important about than those examples or those reasons, the reason that we should be of good cheer is that Jesus tells us that we should be of good cheer. You know, there are certain people in your life that you ought to just decide they know what they are talking about, and I'm going to listen to them, and whenever they give me advice or tell me something that I'm going to do, I'm not going to argue, I'm not going to debate, I'm just going to do it. Praise God if you have parents that you can put into that category. And many of you do. You have Christian parents that if they say something and give you some advice, rather than debate and argue, you ought to just do it, especially if you're still living in their house. Now, if you're out on your own, you know, sometimes, well, I won't go there, but you ought to just... You ought to just decide that your parents are people that know what they're talking about and just do what they say. Same thing for your grandparents. Yeah, thank God if you have godly grandparents. And I hope you can say, yeah, I trust my grandparents, and when they tell me to do something, I'm not going to argue and debate. I'm just going to take their word for it, and I'm going to do it. Now, I think, hopefully, that you can put your doctor into that category. You know, many of us want to argue with our doctors. We think, you know, even though they went to medical school for 12 years, we think we know as much as they do. But you ought to get a doctor that you trust. And I know sometimes, you know, they over-prescribe pills and all that other stuff. But for the most part, if a doctor tells us to do something, we ought to just do it. And if you're married and you're a husband, you ought to just decide whatever your wife says to do, just do it. You'll be a lot happier. Amen? All right, thank you, ladies. But more than those people, if Jesus tells us to do something, we ought not to argue, we ought not to debate, we ought not to decide, well, I'm going to do this or I'm not going to do it. We ought just to decide before we come across the instruction that whatever Jesus tells us to do, I'm going to do it. I am just going to do it. And three times in the Bible, Jesus tells us to be of good cheer. And every time he tells us to be of good cheer, he gives us a reason why we should be of good cheer. The first one is in Matthew chapter 9, verse 2, where the Bible says, "And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven thee." This man was paralyzed. This man couldn't walk. We don't know his name. We do not know how long he had been in this condition. But we do know that he had four friends that cared enough about him that said, if we can get our friend to Jesus, Jesus can help him. So here was this paralyzed man lying on a bed, and I can just picture it in my mind. Each one of the four friends gets at a corner of that heavy quilt or that mattress, whatever he was lying on. They pick up the corner of that bed, and they carry him to Jesus. And Jesus said to that paralyzed man, he said to that man sick of the palsy, what he says to each of us today, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven. Be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven. Now what a reason to rejoice. What a reason to be happy. What a reason to be of good cheer. All my sins are forgiven. Now listen, let me just testify for a little bit. I am a sinner. I have told lies in my life. I have not always obeyed my mom and dad. And there's some other things that I'm not going to tell you this morning just because I'm not going to tell you. But just know for a fact that I am a sinner. And I believe this book, when this book says and tells me over and over again that the wages of my sin is death, separation from God, now and forever. And if you're separated from God when you die, there's only one place you go. Because God's in heaven, and the only other place that exists is hell. And if you die without knowing Jesus as your Savior, before you die, you're going to be separated from Him forever and ever and ever. But God loved me so much, even while I was a sinner, that He took all of my sins, and He put them on His perfect Son. His Son, who was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And His Son, Jesus Christ, paid the price for every one of my sins. Not some of them, not a few of them, but every single one. The debt of my sins were paid for by Jesus Christ. And one day, 44 or 45 years ago, and I've shared my testimony with you before, on my knees, down in front of a red vinyl couch on the tile floor in my pastor's study, I told Jesus that I knew I was a sinner. I told him I believed that there was a penalty for that sin, and that penalty was to be separated from God forever and ever and ever. I told him that I believed when he died on the cross, he paid for every one of my sins. And I asked him that night to save me from the penalty of my sin. And he did. And every one of my sins have been forgiven. I don't know about you, but I'm happy about that. I can get excited about that. I can be of good cheer. I mean, regardless of what's going on, when I remember that my sins have been forgiven by God, I can be of good cheer. I put a little story in the bulletin about a guy that was walking down the street and heard somebody singing. Wasn't a loud singing. It was just somebody like they were singing to themselves. And he looked around, and he saw a guy in a wheelchair. And that was the guy that was singing. Both his legs were blown off, and he had two strong arms. He was wheeling himself along in that wheelchair, and he was just singing. And the man went up to him and said, a man singing in a wheelchair is just a lift to everybody. And that man turned up and looked up at him. He said, yeah, when I took my eyes off what I lost and put them on what I still had, I could sing again. And when we put our eyes on the things of this world, we may get discouraged. When we put our eyes on the things that are going on around us, we may get discouraged. But take your eyes off the world. Put them back on the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been forgiven. Every one of your sins have been forgiven. You ought to be able to get excited about that. You ought to be able to be of good cheer about that. When Aaron and I are driving, I like to sing. And he's to the point where he's singing with me. And so yesterday, he spent the day with me, and I was bringing him home. Yesterday afternoon before the deacon's meeting, he was sitting in the back seat in his car seat, and I was in the front, and I start singing, "The wheels on the bus go round and round," you know, the bus song. And he is a man of few words. He's not yet 4 years old, but he's learned that words are important. So he's a man of few words. And he says, "Pa, no singing." Well, that just egged me on. So I started singing, "Jesus loves me." And he said a little bit louder, "Pa, no singing." I said, well, maybe he's not in the mood for church songs. So I like to sing fun songs with him. I started singing, "Zippity-doo-da, zippity-day." And he, in a loud voice, he says, "Pa, no singing." I said, what a grump. You need to hear my message tomorrow, bud. I don't know if his dad and mom has polluted him and told him that grandpa sings bad or what the problem is, but I got to figure this out. But listen, why shouldn't we sing? Why shouldn't we be happy? Why shouldn't we be of good cheer? Our sins have been forgiven. You say, well, preacher, not mine. Said, I've never asked Jesus to save me. Hey, I got news for you this morning. Your sins have been forgiven. You just haven't appropriated it yet. When Jesus went to the cross, even though you haven't asked him to save you yet, God took every one of your sins and he put them on his son. And he is willing, he is willing and able to forgive you this morning if you'll just come like I did, tell him you're a sinner, believe that he died for your sins, and ask him to save you. Every one of your sins will be forgiven. And you can walk out of this place this morning of good cheer, because your sins have been forgiven. But there's a second time that Jesus tells us to be of good cheer. And it's in the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verse 27. The Bible says, "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, unto his disciples, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." The disciples were in a ship, in the middle of the night, in the middle of a storm. In verse 24, it says, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." And about the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the water. The Bible says they were troubled. I mean, I'd be troubled too. I mean, you're in a sailboat. You're out in the middle of the lake. It's dark, completely dark. The wind is blowing. You're rowing hard to try to get to the other side. And then you look out and you see what looks like somebody walking on the water. They said, man, we're in enough trouble. We got the storm going on. Here comes a ghost. Here comes a spirit. And the Bible says that they were afraid. And Jesus said to them the same thing he says to us today. Be of good cheer. It's me. I am always with you. What a reason to rejoice. What a reason to be happy. What a reason to be of good cheer. In the middle of the storms of life, in the middle of the dark times of life, when things are happening that we don't understand and we can't explain, those times that we are fearful and afraid of what will happen next, our Savior comes to us and he says, be of good cheer. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will always be there. He says, yes, you'll have storms. And there'll be times in your life where you could actually feel the midnight darkness. And there'll be times when you will suffer fears. But he says, I will be there to shut the lion's mouth. I will be there to take the heat out of the flames. I will be there to see you through the night. So be of good cheer. I'll never, ever leave you. As the songwriter says, there are things about tomorrow that I will never, ever understand. I will not be able to explain them. I will not be able to rationalize them. I will not be able to give myself or anybody else a reason for why God has allowed something like that to happen. And there'll be things I can't understand and explain. But I know the one who holds tomorrow. And I know the one who holds my hand. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Be of good cheer. It is I, and I'll never leave you. But there's a third time that Jesus said to be of good cheer. We read it as our text this morning. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, but because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus was talking to his disciples. He was preparing them for what was going to come. He says, there will be tribulation that you will suffer. There will be persecution that you will suffer. There will be tough times that you're going to go through. But he said to them what he says to us this morning, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Ye are on the winning side. We're on the winning side. I've read the last chapter of the book. Yes, 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 I'm like you. It gripes me what's going on in the world today. I'm distressed by what's going on in the world today. I'm distressed that we're killing babies one a second. I'm distressed that everybody seems to be saying it's okay for men to be with men and women to be with women. Everybody it's saying, you can't say anything against a Muslim, but let a Christian try to carry his Bible. Let a Christian try to pray in public. Let a Christian try to wear a cross. Let a Christian try to put on a t-shirt with a message and they'll arrest you. There's something wrong and it distresses me. You know, we have to say happy holidays in order to be politically correct instead of Merry Christmas. And it's no longer the Easter break. It's the spring break. And sometimes I get discouraged by what's going on in the world. And by the way, it's going to get worse. It ain't going to get any better. It's going to get worse. But listen, he has overcome the world. He has overcome the world. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So I'm not going to let what's going on in the world today discourage me. I'm not going to let it get me down. I'm going to use less muscles and I'm going to smile. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be of good cheer because my sins are forgiven. Every single one of them. And I have a Savior who said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I'll be there with you all the time. And he's already beat the world. We know how it's going to turn out. We can turn to the last chapters and we can read about it. So why should we be sad? Why should we be discouraged? Why should we look like we'd lost our best friend or our dog or our cat? Never mind. Listen. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Every single one of them. Even the ones that you and I will commit tomorrow. They're already underneath the blood. And Jesus is always with us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. I like that footprint, that poem, Footprints. Guy was looking at his life. He sees footprints in the sand, his footprints and Jesus' footprints. And he looks and he notices certain times in his life when there's only one set. And he goes to Jesus and he said, why would you leave me? Those are the times that I needed you the most. I only see one set of footprints, those tough times in my life, only one set of footprints. And Jesus said to him, yeah, there's only one set of footprints because, and they're mine. Those are the times I was carrying you. You didn't have to walk alone. I was with you. Be of good cheer. Look, I know we all got things going on in our lives. There's all sorts of things going on. In a church family this size, I could take you to 4 or 5 different people every week that just have something going on that's heartbreaking. And I just wanted to remind you this morning. I really truly believe that God wanted me to do it because I had a different message I was going to preach this morning, and he changed it when I heard about Drew Smiley. He changed it. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. You have a Savior who never leaves you, and he's overcome the world. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this message from your word. And I pray that every person here knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that their sins are forgiven because there's been a time in their life where they asked Jesus to be their Savior. And Father, I pray if there's just one person here, just one that's never done that, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to them right now. You would help them see that they are a sinner and there's a penalty for that sin, but that when Jesus went to the cross, he paid the price of every sin. And if they'd ask him this morning, he would save them. I pray you'd help every person that's never asked Christ to be their Savior to do that this morning. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. Help us to remember that we never go through trials and heartaches alone, that you're always with us. And, Father, even though when we look around and we see what's going on in this world and we want to get discouraged, help us to remember that you've already won, that you've already overcome the world. And so I pray that you'll bless this invitation. Again, I pray for those that are here that don't know Christ. Help them to come, and we'll take the Bible, and from the Bible, show them how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Speak to Christians this morning. Maybe there's somebody here that needs to get baptized. Maybe there's somebody here that you've been speaking to about joining the church. And I pray that they'd be obedient. They'd just do it this morning. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.